Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Brendan Lewis continues, and we're watching and monitoring his health because, again, since that UAB game, and you loved what you got from him against South Florida, but he's got that, whatever it is, Ryan said lower leg, ankle, whatever. I think ESPN's called it an ankle. You know, you're watching him. He looked good for the most part. Some wondered why he was in so late. I did not. Again, they wondered because it looked like he was limping off again, but he's able to give you those 87 rushing yards, 18 of 22 passing, connected with 11 different receivers. And it's what we continued to say. Memphis continues to have this enough of a passing game to keep defenses unable to just stack up against you and the run game. And frankly, it's kept you one of the most efficient offenses in the country, as now, even with Brendan Lewis, new quarterback coming off of 4 years with Seth Hennigan, you are still a top 15 ranked offense in the country, according to SP+. And so you're doing it in a completely different way, and Brendan Lewis has been so key to that. Peasant?
Yep.
Yeah, not peasant.
No.
The transfer from Middle Tennessee. I've been wondering why they weren't using him more this year, particularly with Greg DeWosier banged up and a seeming, you know, want to preserve Sutton Smith, sometimes get, you know, Peasant, who is a bowling ball of a running back, get you a couple touchdowns in that game. And it was good to see him being used as well. You outgained Rice 355 to 212. It's really the 212 because that's probably enough. On the offensive side, it's really the 212 we should focus on. That was a season-low rushing yards. Rice obviously runs the triple option, the option offense. We had said going into this one, if nothing else, it would be a good practice for Navy. These Memphis defenders had not seen an offense like this. What do the coaches always say about these offenses? Got to play assignment football. If you don't, you can get run over. We've seen Navy do that to you. All these guys were new to it, and to respond like they did with, I believe, 11 tackles for loss, but more importantly, holding them to a season low in rush yards. 112 rushing yards. Keep in mind, Rice rushed the ball 46 times.
Jeez.
So to hold them to 112, you're talking about 2.4 a carry.
Yeah.
That Memphis defense was up for the task. In fact, it was so good, it just makes you go back to that UAB game and say, what in the world?
That's good.
Even if you were underestimating UAB, underestimating them. How in the world they move the ball? See, UAB lost to UConn?
Yep.
It's like, oh, how in the world? I mean, this defense is clearly a good one. We had that proven in the fourth quarter against South Florida when it needed stops against what had been, frankly, the best offense in the American, and they did it. Here you come back with a performance against a subpar team. You lock them up to a season low in rush yards and total yards, and it's like, man, if you just played two good quarters defensively against UAB, feel like you would have come away with that one. That said, you've done what you've had to do with your back against the wall, and it sets up an absolutely huge matchup this week on Friday over at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium. Brad, I'm very excited.
I am,
and
too.
Frank, in fact, I've already told Chris, we got to go. I mean, this is the season right here.
This is it.
I figure
it'll be fun.
Ryan Silverfield and John Summerall, the two head coaches in this matchup, are probably saying a version of that. Brad, would you agree? This is the season right here because though Tulane right did take the one loss to UTSA, it feels like the loser of this one, and oh, by the way, Navy lost. We had to mention that. First conference loss. Everybody's got one loss. Mm-hmm. Loser, this one's going to have two and be on the outside looking in. So if you are Ryan and you are John Summerall, aren't you saying to both of your team, this is it?
Yes.
We have to win this game. We're looking at it as an American playoff game, frankly, because with a second loss, it's going to set up, number one, it's going to set up the team that wins.
Yes.
Certainly the Tigers, if they do, boy, if you win out here, you're going to host the American Conference Championship game, your first under Ryan Silverfield. You're going to host it here. But that's why if both coaching sides have to look at this, even with Memphis having played better coming into this game the last 2 weeks, have to look at this as a do-or-die game, right?
Yeah, it's
second loss.
Prime time on ESPN Friday night, 8 o'clock. I mean,
6.5. Are you looking at it? Last I looked, that line was 6.5. Do you have it up?
6.5. Still 6.5. And the truth is, if you look at what they did against UTSA, you should be a 6.5 point favorite, right? I mean, you're a better football team.
When I and particularly when I factored into what this Memphis team did against South
5.5 now, just moved
against SoCA. What they did against South Florida, and then backed it up on the road at Rice. Mm-hmm. I feel really good about it. I think 6.5. While last week we might have said, "Man, what in the world?"
Mm-hmm.
That was probably before Tulane goes in there and gets mollywopped.
Yeah.
And this Memphis team plays very well, and particularly defensively again against what can be a tough, you know, assignment, a tough defensive game plan against an offense like that. Was real good to see. Very encouraging. Particularly as it relates to slowing down this Tulane team. Now, here's the deal. Jeffrey Wright's pointed this out, and accurately so, and something I think that will come up on Friday, or has a good chance of possibly coming up. Tulane has not been great against the run this year.
No.
And that is what the Tigers do.
Yeah. No, it's fair.
And so if you've got we know that Greg Duozier only has to be relatively healthy. The guy's so gutsy, he's going to be out there, give you everything he's got. You got him. You got Brendan Lewis. You got Pisant. You got Sudden Smith. Your road to victory is clear. It's run these boys over, because I don't think Tulane is as stout, again, as our man Jeffrey Wright has pointed out all season long, as they've been in seasons past defensively, and particularly against that run. Plays right into your hands. Still going to have a passing game. Hopefully Brendan Lewis is healthy enough, certainly looked the part, although he limped, and we'll keep checking on it. Brendan Lewis is a gamer. We've seen that. So big one on Friday. That obviously for Memphis that we will be talking about all week long. Hopefully we're going to get a chance this week too. I don't want to – sometimes you jinx these things, but, you know. Memphis, I would expect that Ed Scott and the folks over Memphis want a packed house on Friday, right?
Yeah, I think they're going all in on this thing.
So hopefully, yeah, we'll get someone from that side in terms of coming out promoting things.
Because
this is a big week.
Huge.
You know, homecoming win against South Florida was huge, and it's led you to this, which is you want that place packed.
You want it to look right on ESPN.
You want
it
to look
night.
Right on ESPN.
Yep.
And whether it's in the individual matchup between Ryan Silverfield and John Summerall, who are both mentioned for a lot of these P4 jobs, or right now what feels like a playoff for, I'll say, it certainly would be the inside track on the American title game if you win this game. There's a lot to like here. Friday night should be absolutely packed. Sometimes Fridays are weird. This one should be fantastic.
The question I was going to ask you is one you asked before the break, and I don't know if I have the answer, but I think I might have some of the answer, and that is the Summerall versus Ryan Silverfield hot coaching list question you asked. The only thing I could think of is that Summerall so far has done more with less than Ryan. Also, the academic standard thing at Tulane is pretty ridiculous, I've heard. That's the only thing I can come up with, because Ryan has a better football team and he's got more talent.
So back to your point, why this is coming up and why I brought it up. So for Hugh Freeze, obviously gets fired. We touched on it. 10-3 loss at home. And ESPN's five candidates for the job. Right there at the top is Tulane coach John Summerall.
Yeah, ooh, number one.
Not Ryan Silverfield. And so it is odd, because you beat Summerall last year. Maybe it's just because they think Silverfield's a better candidate for the Arkansas job, but here's what they say. He's arguably the hottest name outside of the Power Four.
Silverfield?
No. Summerall. This is what they say.
Summerall has had
Auburn
a hotter
job.
Name. You're right. In the article's right. Every time
point,
I hear it.
It still feels like Golish and Summerall are hotter. I could be wrong.
Still does
there
feel
could
that
be
way.
Some lists that have it opposite, but
I
the ones I've
right.
seen still seem to like Summerall and Golish for these jobs better.
Yeah.
Now, again, maybe most folks have, especially with Lashley locked up at SMU for the time being, maybe some have Ryan pegged for Arkansas,
maybe.
And that's why we're not seeing him and Summerall instead on this list. But, again, ESPN says it. Hottest name outside the Power Four.
Wow.
It wasn't just what he's done at Tulane. He's 15-7 now. It's what he did at Troy before. And he's got, as we mentioned, the SEC experience beforehand. He played at Kentucky and I think coached there as well. And so, again,
resume.
Those ties, could help him.
Yep.
But I'm telling you this right now. Ryan, I'm pulling for you.
Yeah.
Go win it all. Go get the Arkansas job. You, if you cash in, you will have earned it.
Yes.
You will have earned that kind of look, because the only thing missing off of Ryan Silverfield's resume right now is a conference title game appearance and the championship. Now, I'm not sure, Brad, if Arkansas comes calling, even if he does make the conference championship game, but he loses, and so he doesn't have a conference championship in his 6 years, I don't know if that excites the Arkansas fans enough. But what I do know this, hey, I've been critical of Ryan. This guy's got a top 15 offense the last 3-4 years, and he's done it with two different quarterbacks. That would be attractive to me.
Yes.
Right? Especially if I'm going to get serious, and Arkansas has to show this and not just say it. If I'm going to get serious about NIL for football and trying to come out of this basement that I'm in of the SEC, I've got to give Ryan some money. But when Memphis did, boy, did he do some good things with it.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, back to the point, I'm rooting for Ryan to win this whole damn thing and go get that Arkansas job. I look at it as that's good for Memphis. Frankly, Ed Scott, now that's a challenge for Ed Scott. You know, it's one thing to replace some of your Olympic sports coaches, which he's done. It's another thing to have to go out and find a football coach, and particularly one for a brand like this. And so that could be a thing that comes up very quickly here. Ryan goes on, cash is in here. He's put himself in position again. Again, Ryan's greatest strength might be his team not letting go of the rope.
Sure.
The way he can hold a team together after it does stub its toe.
Yeah.
Did that last year, even though they didn't make the conference championship game. You did it in beating John Summerall and number 17 Tulane. Highest ranked win that Ryan's got. Still is over South Florida even this year. So he's done a lot of good things. Yeah. Go on and cash in and go get you that Arkansas job. And put Ed Scott to work on finding the next Memphis head football coach. That's a good place to be. That's where Boise State is. That's where you're holding guys graduate on to Power 4 jobs, whatever else. Or if they're not, meeting a standard like Boise State has its coaches meet one, or it moves on from you, then you decide to move. But that's what you want. You want to keep it hot. So that starts Friday night. A path to that is certainly there. It can start on Friday night with a win over Tulane, and you control your destiny. Memphis has proven it's a team that's good enough to do that and go on and win this conference championship. And, man, what, playing Ole Miss? Who are we going to play first round in the playoff?
How hot
what
would
a
that
year
be?
It would be.
How hot would that
dude,
be?
Dude, I get excited thinking about it. I'm serious. Awesome. Go win it all. I am pulling for Ryan. Wow. Heck, again, even if the Arkansas doesn't come calling, he will have finally shut me up in the sense that, all right, is Ryan ever going to get a conference championship or not? Because there's too high a level of investment now to not get it. He'll have shut up. And not just shut folks up, any critics still left. You talk about buy into your program? Oh, yeah. It's hot, whether you're the coach moving on to Arkansas or you're the coach here in Memphis. So be great just for the program. It's always bigger than one man. Be great just for the program to go ahead and cash in here. I've gone over. We've got a rundown we've got to get to. We'll talk a little bit more about tonight's game. Grizzlies back on the floor against Detroit. You got a Monday night football game. We've got to get to what was a wild weekend in the NFL. Minnesota beat Detroit. Yep. Green Bay lost. Weird.
It was a weird Sunday.
Carolina.
Yeah,
dude.
It was strange.
Got an all-time field goal from Cam Little in Jacksonville as they put John, his Raiders down. Brad's fantasy team put John down. I got to mention that. Way to humble a man on his way to Disney to see Mickey Mouse. I love to see it. So we've got a ton to do, obviously, in the second hour. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FMES. The Live Love Memphis Group. They are fantastic at what they do. The head of this team is Jennifer Carstensen, and she's done it in every market, whether that's getting top dollar for your home or getting you in your dream home. Helped me back in 2018, and her business has been growing ever since. It's grown through challenging times. It's grown through the good times. That's a sign that you've got a winner, and Jennifer Carstensen and her team are nothing but winners. Let them win for you. Again, get you the most money possible. Keys pricing right from the get-go, so you're not out there waiting. On the market forever, having to decrease the price, God forbid. You want to get the most money, you want to get it done quickly. 901-625-5200 is the number. 901-625-5200. Let Live Love show you what they can do for you. It's what they did for me. And they'll forever be a part of the Smith family. We'll forever be indebted to them. That's real talk, because they change our situation for the better. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency. Every day, we're a little late getting to it. We've had so much to talk about. Around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. We've had so many things to address today and so many things ahead, including that big Memphis Tulane football game on Friday. We've gotten to the rundown a little late here. You know what people aren't talking about? The fact that Memphis lost to Toronto on Sunday night because nobody cared.
Yep.
The league didn't care. Frankly, yes, we were all pulling for the Grizzlies, but everybody's also locked in to, okay, what's going to happen when Ja Morant returns from this one-game suspension, and obviously he served it against Toronto. Grizzlies lost 117-104. What was overshadowed, again, by all this Ja stuff was the fact that Jaren Jackson Jr. had 20 points in this game, one of his better offensive games of the season. You end up coming up short, though, against the Toronto team as a first back-to-back set of wins this year. That's not very good.
Nope.
And you kind of just see. Kind of just see what this thing is when Ja's not out there. Remember, this dude saved you against Phoenix and New Orleans.
Yep, won the games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, listen, while I understand Isolo challenging Ja after you mail it in the second half, let's not act like there's a whole heck of a lot out there to work with and to win games with if he's not on the floor or to, frankly, to sell tickets to.
$2 is what the get-in is tonight at the low, the Tick Picks and some of these sites. ESPN actually put it on as a story out there.
Penny Hardaway could get in for $2, and of course he get in for, but Penny could pay $2 to go see his former player Jalen Duren coming off of 33-11. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, that is crazy cheap to get in.
Yep.
Yeah, take advantage. Pre-game 6:30, right here, be listening to that. Pre-game 6:30 on 92.9 FM ESPN, and then, like we said, Eric Hasseltine will have you on the call at 7. That's the game tonight against Detroit. Obviously the part of a back-to-back after the loss to Toronto. But everybody ain't talking about that, back to the point. They're talking about what's going on with the Grizzlies and Ja. And so was Draymond Green. And so this is what we talked about. This is what you open yourself up to. And Ja, we're talking to you. Again, can understand frustrations, working it out with Isolo, but you can't go public with it because this is how they talk about you.
When I saw his comments, I found those interesting. But all they did was confirm to me what I was watching. When we got on that plane, I was telling Steph, like, man, Ja ain't in it at all. Like, it looked like something happened. Like, Ja, it ain't Ja. Like, he was giving the ball to Cam Spencer and kind of going to stand in the corner. You know, so you could tell. And Steph was like, huh, quiet protest going on, huh? And I was like, that's what it looked like. And then, obviously, after the game, we saw the comments. I was like, yep. And rightfully so, there was something going on. And so when you see this, this leaves you in a space of, is this the beginning of the end? And it takes you back to Taylor Jenkins getting fired and them hiring bumping the assistant coach up. When you looked at their team, Jaren, Ja, and those guys, I think they rocked with Taylor Jenkins. I truly in my heart believe that they rocked with Taylor Jenkins. So if that's the case and you just up and fire him, you're almost signaling to Ja and possibly Jaren that you really don't give a damn what they think about who's coaching them. And so when I look at this suspension, I say, okay, they didn't hire an assistant coach who I'm almost certain that Ja didn't really sign off on. But they're showing you they don't care what you think. And usually when they show stars that they don't care what you think, the next move is usually you.
That's what you. That's what Ja's opened us up to. Now, a couple things. It's interesting to hear Draymond talk about this and discussing it with Steph as they're watching it sort of unfold. That's his version of things. But to hear him say that Steph sort of recognized it as a quiet protest the second half against the Lakers, right? Like they were watching it. Either way, they'd obviously heard about it, and Draymond's heard about it, and this is what we said. This is why Ja Morant is a professional. You can't go public, and speaking specifically to the scrum right in front of your locker, where you're saying it's on the coaching staff, ask the coaching staff, you know, it's probably about me not playing, or play, you know, not yet not playing. You can't do that and expect things like this not to happen, that Shams not to come asking what's going on. And then for Draymond to come in, and the part I agree with, okay, it did look like a quiet protest. We've said it. We may never know why Ja Morant got mad at halftime because things look to be going pretty well. They got that part. It feels like Draymond got that part of the story right. Looked like a quiet protest. Still like to know what Ja's issue was at halftime, what happened there, because clearly something did. But where they go wrong, I feel like, or at least too far into speculation, is Draymond going down this road that this is about Taylor Jenkins. And I'd say this to that. You know, you have to go back and look at those last days of Taylor. Remember, he wasn't playing Zach Edey. They weren't using pick and roll. It had gone away from it. In fact, excuse me, we had questioned why, because Taylor Jenkins knew better than anybody, having coached Ja for as many years as he did, that Ja's at his best when the pick and roll is rolling. When you got Edey up there, whatever, your space mover, space eater, whatever you want to call it, your screen guy, that's Ja at his best. So why would they go away from that? Yet we knew it was happening. And what happened when Isolo got the job? Zach Edey's right back in there, and they're going to it. And Ja put up some great numbers in the immediate. He said everything was good. Now, some of that could have been lip service, but the issue, the reason I think we believed him, I'll just make the case, is because the numbers were good on the floor. And remember, all we've heard about Isolo's unproven offense in the NBA, it still is, his unproven system, is how it features the lead guard. And frankly, and Drew Hill and Harrington, DeMichael have been writing about this, it doesn't feature as much bigs like Jaren Jackson Jr. And we've seen sort of that, Jaren trying to feel his way out through this. This thing's geared towards Ja, and we saw it immediately when Isolo got the job. And so for Draymond to go down that road and say, well, this is about Taylor Jenkins, when frankly Jenkins wasn't running what Ja needed at the very end. Jenkins had gone rogue, you know? And frankly, I didn't blame him. We talked about it. You kind of got undercut. Frank, I kind of saw it coming. Figured this guy, you done brought in his replacement. He's probably going to go rogue on you at some point, and he did. Back to that goes up to the decision Kleinman made to sort of pit those two. But back to the point, Ja seemed fine. And Ja had the numbers to seem fine. And that's the part Draymond's not including. You know, we did the offseason, we did the preseason stuff. Ja said all the right things in media day about Isolo and all those guys. Again, a lot of that can be lip service. But when the numbers are good, you feel like, okay, he's good with Isolo, at least in that sense, that I got an offense down, it's going to feature me, it's about me. It's going to make sure we got a screener for me. And you'd be down with that. It's part of the reason why Brad and I were talking their first hour. Like, there had to be some sort of understanding between Zach Kleiman, Tuomas Isolo, and Ja Morant as the face of your franchise. When you're bringing Isolo on board, that this was going to be good for Ja. There had to be some acceptance there. Now, whether Ja still had some lingering questions, all that, maybe we'll never know. Because I figured next time Ja's going to be asked about this, it's going to be all to the good. Everything's good. Everything's good. But he had to be on the same page at some point. The numbers were good. And so I think Draymond, in his effort, again, to be, you know, to have something to, you know, folks come in and listen to, I think he goes too far to a point that I feel like it's, I mean, he says almost, I think they rocked with Taylor Jenkins, and makes the case that because he thinks that Ja's still on the Taylor Jenkins train is the reason you're getting silent protest, and a sign that the Grizzlies, as he put it, don't give a damn about who's coaching you, or give a damn about what you think. That can get you into all sorts of problems, because now you got let's be real. Ja Morant cares about what people like Draymond. It's one thing if it's just a couple people. Usually he cares about anybody that's tweeting at him. But if Draymond says, now this organization doesn't care about Ja Morant or who he wants as coach, man, that's something that you, like I said, now you got to address this, right? So whether it's right or wrong, we feel like it's probably wrong. Ja, at some point, like this Isolo offense, you got to come back out, because Draymond's saying this, he's going to have half the league believing it. That you're because what he's using as evidence, he's not using the whole picture. He's just using that second half silent protest. They fired Taylor Jenkins. 9 games left. It was weird. Looks to me like Ja was always on board with Taylor. When we know there had to be a lot more to it, and we saw in the immediate, those that were watching, Draymond apparently wasn't, it got better for Ja. Ja certainly, that body language said he liked those numbers after Isolo took over. Because immediately, Zach Edey's back in there, and you're setting him back up. Like, we saw that. So again, to pin this on Jenkins is wrong to do. But he's not using the whole picture here. That said, the part that it's fair to do, and I go again, it goes back to responsibility, the responsibility of being a professional. This is why you don't call out, essentially, your head coach in his first full year publicly by doing the handling it the way that you did. There's a real OG way. That's how they sort of, there's a real way to go about this for stars. Like, I can understand some of your frustrations even. You do this in-house. You keep this in-house. So if nothing else, no mouths can open up about where you are with Isolo, and about, more importantly, where you are with the franchise. You got Draymond out here saying that Zach Kleiman in the front office don't care about what Ja Morant thinks off this mess. Well, Ja, you opened Pandora's box. You opened us up to this. Goes back to responsibility of a professional. Yeah, and I love Ja to death. I want it to work here. Want everybody to be on the same page. Should have been more on the same page than it appears you are. What are we doing? What are we doing? Now, maybe eventually we'll just see that Ja's never going to get right. Mr. Can't Get Right, and that you do have to trade him. God forbid you wonder if you're ever going to have anything as potentially box office as he is. He's been box office when he's on the floor, but let's think about the Grizzlies as a top seed in the West and things rocking and where it could go. Potentially best box office star you'll ever have. You go make a trade for that. Who knows what that return's going to be? It's certainly going to be less than the potential of Ja Morant. That could lead you into an abyss. Heard Harrington and Jeff discussing this morning. They're absolutely right. Look at that Toronto team. They had a bunch of early picks. Just a bunch of wings, bunch of talent. Sure, there's talents. It doesn't fit together. Like my point, you can make picks after that was their point as well. And they're right. You can make pick after pick after pick after pick in the lottery. Hit on players that, individually look great, should be parts of something whole and that looks good. But that thing's been a mess with Toronto. All they got, a bunch of 6'8", 6'9", dudes all do the same thing. And they're not getting anywhere. Yeah, did just beat you without Ja Morant on the floor. But that's the point, is you could go into an abyss if you just trade Ja and say, we'll take our chances here. Ja could force their hand. He could force the Grizzlies' hand. Especially when you create this kind of, unfortunately, it's a nationally relevant mess the Grizz have on their hands that they have to now clean up tonight. Whether it's the first time Ja's approached with a mic or a recorder or Isolo after the game, nobody's going to care about that result tonight as much as they're going to care about asking those parties involved, have you guys smoothed this out? What's going on? And that's unfortunate. And as much as I'm pushing back on Draymond for the basis of his argument that this is about being aligned with Taylor Jenkins and a bad offense for Ja, which I don't buy. As much as we can push back on that, Ja has opened this door for the speculation. You got Draymond saying it on Odyssey. Draymond's now one of us. He's a colleague. He comes on here with this stuff. Ja opened the door, though. I can't sit here and only be mad at Draymond, be frustrated with Draymond.
No, you can't be frustrated with Draymond. You open yourself up for this. It's a setup.
Of course, he's going to give you the surface look.
Yeah.
He just thinks it's about Taylor Jenkins.
And he can say whatever he wants. And it's up to you to filter this crap out, which is, clearly he has not been able to filter out noise or social media, it appears.
So see Zach Kleiman, this goes up. You got Draymond Green out here saying that now you guys don't care about who Ja Morant wants as the coach because it doesn't look like it's working for him based on that silent protest against L.A., which is a story you shouldn't have to address. But Ja's put you in a position where you at least need to clean it up optically. Maybe you've said all you're going to say with the release, the conduct detrimental to the team. I do think, again, Ja had put them in a position where they had no choice but to suspend him and make news. You're going to let him show up the head coach after the game after he's been challenged? What does that do to Isolo's credibility in that locker room with the rest of those players? Is anybody going to buy into Isolo and his system if Ja ain't buying in? If they see the lead dog not buying in? Messy. The cleanup needs to start tonight, 7 o'clock. Body language, effort on the floor, all of it for the Grizzlies against the Detroit Pistons. 4.5? Or did you say some money?
Went to 5.5. Yeah.
5.5. Pistons are favored. They come in here hot. Kay Cunningham, Jalen Duren, absolutely hooping. Make sure you're tuned in to the pregame, 6:30 p.m., as we are all watching what unfolds next with Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies.
As
the Ja turns. I like that.
Yeah.
Hopefully we won't have to make it a regular segment.
No.
It was going to be great. It was going to be 7 straight games. More than he played. Ja playing every game.
It is exhausting.
More than he played in 2-3 seasons in terms of in a row. Take that, Mark Giannotto. You keeping track of all my 5 games and now 6 games stretches.
That's the funniest thing. That. And people were mocking him for that because it's like the week where you said all 82, you punked the organization.
Self-inflicted.
Yeah.
Those are the worst kind. It's another thing. Injury, these are self-inflicted. Yeah. Moving on. Hugh Freeze out at Auburn, we said it.
Yep.
I want to get to some of the candidates. We've talked about him being out. It needed to happen at this point down there. He was 15-19 in 2+ seasons. Auburn's still got pride, And while, maybe in terms of the rest of the SEC, they got some things from an NIL standpoint, transfer portal point, that they've got to get cleaned up and fortified and strengthened. Program is still too good to be 15-19. You're not Arkansas. You shouldn't be at the bottom of the SEC. Still too. You're not far removed not so far removed from a national championship. So Hugh had to go. It was only a matter of time. You put up 3 points at home. They had to do it this week. Don't blame them. Five candidates for the job, according to ESPN. We talked about the first one's Tulane coach John Summerall. They call him arguably the hottest name outside of the Power Four. Will have opportunities to lead higher-profile programs soon, especially in the SEC. They also mentioned Summerall could fit at Arkansas, which we think, probably taking a look, and some of the odds makers had it as well. They're probably liking Ryan Summerfield as well. So yeah, these guys could be up for some of the same jobs. Georgia Tech coach Brent Key, what do you think about them? And Georgia Tech's been a great story this season. He's sitting at 8-1 right now. Brent Key's,
yeah,
he's tough. A lot of that, to me, it feels like it's about the quarterback
yep.
that they've got. He's an absolute stud.
Mm-hmm. I like it. I like it because Jeffrey pointed something out this morning. He knows a lot about college football, that Texas A&M, when they bought out Jimbo Fisher and they had to pay all this money, Florida State's about to do this probably, presumably with Mike. Florida is going through it. They're, you know, what Texas A&M decided to do was hire a GM. You're going to fund your roster. You know, Texas Tech is doing this. And then you're hiring a ball coach, basically. Somebody like Mike Elko, who's not known as this prolific sort of Jimbo savant or Malzahn offense or what. He's just a really solid sort of ball coach. And I tend to think that's what Brent Keyes is, right?
I just wonder, is life not better in the ACC? It certainly is for Rhett Lashley, it would
yes.
seem, who did the 2-year extension, I believe it was, locked him in.
Yeah.
He'd been a favorite for the Arkansas job because that's where he's from. He decided, I'm staying at SMU. It's better for me than trying to pull an Arkansas, right, or a
yeah.
school like it up from the bottom of the SEC, which is tough every year.
Sure.
The top sort of fortified
mm-hmm.
in terms of investment level. There, that might be a hump you never get over.
Well, they got a lot of money, too.
In the ACC, and John's made the point, and we did it as recently as last week, you're not scared of what Clemson's doing. Dabo, in fact, might be wobbling a little bit on his heels
yeah.
At this point. Miami's showing itself under Mario. Mm-hmm. To be sort of fraudulent, get off to good starts, maybe not be physical enough, whatever else. SMU just took you down. And so is life not better in the ACC? It certainly is for Rhett Lashley than it would be for Brent Key, who's sitting there at 8-1, right? That's
yes.
It's as opposed to getting beat up every week and hoping that Arkansas gives you the NIL to fight with. But then even if they do, no promise that you'll get it done.
Juracich has been bitching about their NIL situation for the last 4 months. I saw him do it at the Touchdown Club back in the spring.
SEC scary if you don't come with some weapons to fight with. If you don't come with all the money in the world, you're going to get beat up.
And you don't, if you're trying to hire a football coach, the last thing you need to do if you're Hunter or any of these ADs is be talking about, you know, we're not quite funded like we think we should be. Because what's the coach do? He's like, hell, I'm staying at SMU because we're paying the hell out of players.
Well, and that's something that if it does come down to Ryan Silverfield in Arkansas.
Yeah.
And Ryan's got to have some sort of understanding.
What are we doing?
This, you know, my investment level at Memphis was here. Look what I did with it.
Yeah.
I'm going to need a commensurate level of investment. Now it's SEC.
Yeah.
You've got to give it to me. Otherwise, I can't go out there and do what I did at Memphis.
Well, and I think Cal did that when he went there for basketball.
And had those promises early on.
Yeah.
Right?
Cal yes. went, okay, so you're gonna fund $20 million worth of roster for me, and I can pay these dudes.
Ryan's got to make sure he's got that on the football side as well, is our point there. Another one of the candidates mentioned for the Auburn job, in addition to Brent Key, who may find life in the ACC better, Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri, Clarkley Vanderbilt. Figure he's going to get some offers and certainly some interest. And then Georgia defense coordinator Glenn Schumann, who I'm not as familiar with. Now, they go on and rank the openings, the open Power Four jobs right now. And you've got Stanford, UCLA, Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State, Arkansas, Penn State, Florida, LSU, and now Auburn.
Wow.
There are two other notable non-Power Four jobs, Oregon State and UAB. But for this exercise, they have ranked the Power Four gigs, the nine of them, at the top. Which one do you think they got at the top?
Top job overall? It's got
to
be...
It comes down to two. I figured
LSU or Florida, so it's probably it.
Well, you left one out. I figured you'd say LSU or Penn State, but you're right. LSU is number one. The school you mentioned is number one in terms of ranking of the openings.
Yeah.
You said Florida. They've got Penn State second and Florida third. So I don't fault you at all for having those two higher than Penn State having Florida. That said, I don't feel like Florida's the same level of job that it necessarily used to be. And so I think James Franklin had everything he needed at Penn State. They spent for him.
Yeah.
You know, all he had to do was Franklin was beat Ohio State, and he couldn't get that done. He frankly couldn't beat UCLA with an interim. That got embarrassing before you got the chance against Ohio State. They played them well for a half, by the way, this weekend before it was all before Ohio State ran off from them. But back to one, I agree here. I'm not going to disagree with you much though for having Florida number two. Yeah. ESPN's got it three behind Penn State there, and then that Auburn job that we just talked about is why I want to bring number four. I want to see if you agree with that. Ahead of Oklahoma State, ahead of Virginia Tech, ahead, of course, of Arkansas, which they've got seventh, Stanford eighth, UCLA ninth. Do you agree? Yeah. I mean, do you agree?
So Auburn, I like, four? You know, I think there's two separate questions. It's a great get. Auburn has historically been a better job than Virginia Tech and those other teams in the ACC. But the problem is, what's your quality of life and how happy and content is your what's your threshold, right?
Yep.
The threshold at Virginia Tech, and John witnessed this firsthand, is decent. Auburn has no threshold. Like, right. you have to at least beat Kentucky.
They only gave Hugh 2+ seasons, to your point. Fired like in the middle of
but
the first.
I disagree with Hugh in that he needed more time because the writing was on the wall
there. It was.
But
scored 3 points,
you have to beat Kentucky at home, Hugh. Like, you got to go beat, you probably need every so often beat Alabama, or at least down to the final play.
Yep.
They were right in it. But no, I think your quality of life probably is better at Virginia Tech, but it's probably a better job at Auburn. I think that's fair.
ESPN writes, and I tend to agree, despite the complexities around Auburn, coaches understand it's a special place with a devoted fan base and the ingredients to become a national contender again.
Okay.
That's what they believe. See, I don't know if that's still the case for Florida, but I do believe that it is still the case for Auburn. Now, again, they've got Florida number three. But Auburn, you've got to do more, certainly, than what Freeze did.
Hey, Jason, this list is really weird because almost within 2 weeks, we saw Tennessee going from the highest of the high mountains to now everybody's upset, like wanting to. It's not like hyperbole to say, like, there are people that don't like what Heupel's doing now all of a sudden.
I think they give, well, yeah, there are.
Like, boom,
some people are saying he's missing Alex Golish. They give Florida the edge over Auburn, because I was eyeing that as I was wrapping that up there, and whether I disagree, whether I would have Auburn 3
where
over
you at
Florida.
On it?
They give Florida the edge because of the talent-loaded state.
Okay.
Now, again, you're recruiting that against Miami. You're recruiting it against Florida State. Mm-hmm. And lately it ain't looked so great. You know, Billy did get a 5-star quarterback down there in Lagway. But
sure.
They give the edge because of the recruiting grounds to Florida. I can understand that case. I think I would still flip it and have Auburn 3, though, and Florida 4. Could be wrong for that.
Mm.
But for the most part, the rankings look about right. I would have LSU as number one. That's a place where it's not just the last two. It's the last three coaches there, because Nick won one.
Yes.
Have won national titles.
Saban, Miles, and then Orgeron.
That's why if you're Brian Kelly, with where they were, you had to move
it was
on.
A bad fit.
And that's the expectations. It is a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Down in LSU, it's what they expect. Brian Kelly was not meeting the mark, and we'll see. Auburn wants more. LSU wants more. This is going to create a coaching carousel, probably unlike we've seen over the last few years. It won't just be, you know, the big schools and the LSUs and the Penn State filling these openings. It'll be who they pull from and the openings that create. If a Ryan Silverfield or a John Summerall leave out of the American, that is a spot now, I would say, a very valuable, coveted spot for any coach who says, you know, at those kinds of schools, just like at a Boise State, I could go in there, win 2-3 years, make a conference championship, boom, I'm out of there, I'm headed off to the P4.
Yep.
That's how you want your program to be viewed.
It'll be interesting when Ryan, because Ryan's going to be on the, let's presume he beats Tulane and he stays hot and he keeps going and he goes to the conference championship.
Go, 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 Ryan.
Just keep going, which is great for Memphis. It'll be interesting to see if this all plays out great for him this year and he's on these lists and he says no, or somebody says no, because they're like, you know what? Maybe I just want to chill in this league right here. You know what I'm saying?
Mullen
is doing that.
Interesting. Can Ryan Silverfield afford to turn down the swing if it comes his way this offseason with, again, yes, you have resources, you should be at the top of the American, but there's also a pressure to do it.
Yep.
You've done it. This would be, let's assume he makes it.
Let's say he does it.
He's done it one time in 6 years.
Yep.
Do you keep going around the bend, banking that you'll keep doing that? Or do you have to strike while the iron is hot? It's interesting in Ryan's case, just because
I'm interested in what
this has been elusive for him.
But I will say, the money is so extraordinary now.
At this level for him, it seems
too extraordinary. The money is too much.
Okay.
So
I was thinking you were saying they're NIL. But you're talking about the contract.
Well, I'm thinking about all of it. I'm thinking, the money yourself personally is a lot.
Yeah, Arkansas is going to pay him.
So you have generational wealth coming your way, more so than the $2 or $3 million you're getting in Memphis.
Arkansas fills the job this year.
Yep.
And just a scenario, fills the job this year. You come back next year and you're on the outside looking in, the American, and your name isn't on those lists like it used to be.
And you have to rebuild the
roster.
There's
no opportunity at Arkansas. And then who knows if one that's good for you opens up.
Yeah, I think you have to go.
So I think in that instance he would have to go just because, keep in mind, he's wanted his names on these lists.
Sure.
This would be the year to cash in.
So does Jimmy Sexton. Wants him
wise
on
men
them too.
Wise men always told me, man, you strike while the iron's hot. You cash in while while you've got the leverage. We'll be interested to see. I am rooting for that to happen.
Yes.
For Ryan to have that decision to make. And what I would ask, and someone mentioned this on Twitter, and they're absolutely right, I would ask that Ryan, if he's talking to Arkansas, bro, Ahmed Scott, hey, man, I need you to get me through the college football playoff.
Yeah.
This is too important a year. Coach me through.
Conversation.
Was it Norvell? Was it Fuente?
Yes.
That last game with Paxton?
That
different
did not
situation?
Go well.
Because this is college football playoff. It's much different than that. But Paxton, that last game in the bowl game, is awful. Fuente was out of here. Mm-hmm. Back to that point. I need Ryan to get me to that CFP.
Run through the tape.
So, and I think Ryan, I have no doubt in my mind that Ryan would agree to that. Even if he knew that he was Arkansas's pick, he would tell the folks at Arkansas, I got to see this through.
Yeah.
Because again, that is about the program. And if Ryan is about the program, right, being over any one person, not just his career, first, the program first, you've got to do that and not put them in the situation that Norvell left us in where we're Cotton Bowl with our interim. In this case, CFP, maybe it's against an Ole Miss, maybe it's against, whoever it is, number 5 seed.
Yes.
And we got an interim. You can't do that to us. You got to see it through. This is the first time
ever. I like
ever.
Where you're going with this.
And I think he would.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he would. You don't leave Memphis in the situation like they did in some of their bowl games. This is different, and this is why I don't think Ryan would. CFP appearance, it's good for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for the program that you would be about to leave and that you used to go cash in on a job like Arkansas.
Yes.
So absolutely the right thing to do is see it through.
Yep.
Don't leave Memphis in a position where they're doing the college football playoff game without you.
Well, and the new change is the 2026 portal opening is now, they've moved it to January 2nd. So I'm not suggesting that Memphis won't make hay in the college football playoff, but those bowl games, those happen earlier, if I'm not mistaken. You'll have that first round done. So you could do the game and then hope maybe you win it. Who knows? Maybe you surprise somebody.
Need you folks on seeing this through. Yeah. Realize you'll have things, like you said, you need Arkansas. You got to get folks. If it happens, I'm rooting on it to happen.
Yeah,
I'm rooting for it to happen. I want it to happen for Ryan Silverfield, for the program. I think that puts the program in a great spot. It's very, like, keep in mind, and there may be some right now that, listen, you're bought all the way in or you never left Ryan Silverfield's way. You don't want to lose this head coach. Because now he's got this NIL, you're seeing this year, the way they played against South Florida, I get it, right? Nobody likes losing head coaches.
Right.
That said, for Memphis, keep in mind, this is now a coveted job.
Yes.
It's while you haven't made a conference title game, hopefully you knock that off this year, this job with where it is, level of investment has changed since 2019.
It's the best in the non-power because
you have a new stadium,
new indoor, funded roster. FedEx.
You have an American conference that's behind you now. It looks at you as one of its powers. So whether it's scheduling or whatever else, they're going to be in your corner promoting you. They want you in Tulane up there like this.
Sure.
Battling Boise State. Frankly, taking Boise State's spot because that's the team out of the mountain about to go to the Pac-12. But that's the team that everybody looks at and says could be your biggest competition. Somebody else hadn't stepped up yet. UNLV, we're waiting on.
We're waiting on
some of these other schools to do that. We'll see.
Yep.
But you got that spot right here. That's going to make you a very,
attractive job. Yeah.
Opening for many a college football coach, whether it's assistant or whatever else. And so, the next Norvell, the next Fuente, the next Ryan Silverfield, go ahead and pull this through. We'll call it that. Could be waiting eagerly to get this job and take it to the next level. So we've got a lot more to do. Even before Respect Burgers, I want to talk a little bit about the NFL. Hopefully we can get a little short segment in before our 1 o'clock Respect Burger segment. Then we're going to talk to Jeff Calkins, host of the Jeff Calkins Show, as well columnist for the Daily Memphian, obviously, about this big game for Memphis against Tulane on Friday. We will obviously talk to him about the Ja Morant situation. He discussed it at length with Chris Harrington this morning. Eager to get Jeff's take We'll do all that at 1:25. A lot more to do in hour number three. Stick and stay. You're listening to J&J, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Just telling Brad how well done his fantasy victory over John Martin was. Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
Brad beat John with his own guy, Brock Bowers. 40-something points. Good Lord. That's got to hurt when you do it to a guy who is a fan of the team, whose player that you have, that's got to hurt a little more in fantasy when it happens to you.
You know, and I don't like to, I don't talk too much about it because, you know, I try to just be humble and sit over here and enjoy the fantasy season with my friends.
Just all about the fun.
Yeah, have some fun.
And you remain humble.
But John.
Talked a little mess to you last week.
This week, he's like, I made this trade. He was kind of making fun of George, and rightfully so, maybe. But still, I'm like, maybe we'll rise up this week. Maybe I get Bowers in there. Maybe I got Josh Allen starting. He's back. He's like, you don't have any running backs. Didn't need him.
No, because Brock Bowers is doing all the work. Don't you see? And they lost, too, by the way.
I know. How do you lose with that kind of a performance?
I like thinking about John having written off his Raiders season already as he's down there at Mickey Mouse's house. All right. And now you hand him that fantasy blow.
Yeah.
There ain't much football. Hopefully Mickey Mouse is showing him a good time. We've got Cardinals-Cowboys tonight in a game that I'm not really interested in, although Cowboys fans and Stephen A. Smith, who's on location.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.